The text is Mark 15, verses 33 and 34. Mark 15, verses 33 and 34. We'll be looking back also to Psalm 22, since verse 34 quotes from Psalm 22, and we'll be looking at a little context also in Mark 15. Mark 15, verses 33 and 34. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which translated is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for this, your word. Open it to our hearts, we pray, that we might see more clearly the good work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. We ask in the good name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. A few weeks ago, Pastor Scipione asked us to pray for a young man with whom he was counseling, who attempted to commit suicide. Full of depression and anxiety and a sense of loneliness and of being forsaken by friends and family and the things of the world, he apparently sought to take his own life. Not the best solution to the problem of depression or a sense of forsakenness. It's said in the holiday seasons that depression becomes more prevalent. I don't know that that's actually the case. Some say that it is. And therefore, others think similarly. Well, maybe the best thing to do is just end it all. No, no, friends. The solution is not to end your life. The solution is to look to the end of the life of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And in our text today, we see that he was the one who was ultimately forsaken. And so, in circumstances where we feel forsaken, you may feel forsaken, the answer really is to look to the one who was forsaken for you. This is the lesson of the text, which is before us. Now, as we get into this text, let me tell you something. Maybe you won't like this. But I point the finger at myself also. You and I tend to whine a lot. We tend to whine a lot about circumstances in this life. We tend to whine a lot when we are deprived of various things. Consider the context of our text a little bit here. Look back to verse 29. Those passing by, you see, this is the scene of the crucifixion. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha! You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, the religious leaders, quite amazing, the religious leaders also with the scribes were mocking him. This is a great example, isn't it? Religious leaders going around mocking others and speaking ill of others. Well, if people speak ill of us in a similar way, I'm pointing the finger at myself also. Don't we whine just a little? I would say we do. I have an adopted grandson whose father was black and his mother was white. And you've heard this expression. He's often been called an Oreo. And my daughter, the adopted mother, cringes, rightly so, when words like this are spoken. But words like this are so often easily hurled out. And what do? We whine. And even if we suffer more serious abuse, if our clothes are taken off of our back. Well, this happened to Jesus, didn't it? They cast lot for his clothes. If we're beaten, we cry. Jesus was beaten. He was slapped. He was punched. He was spit upon. Well, of course, that's really not politically correct to spit on someone, is it? But in our text, you see, when you look at all of those kinds of things, they turn out to be rather superficial. Look at our text, verse 33. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. Jesus is on the cross. He's been there now for some time. And darkness falls upon the land. It's a thick darkness. It might remind you of the one of the last plagues that the Egyptians suffered from. And the book of Exodus says that darkness fell on the land for 3 days. And it was the kind of darkness, Exodus says, that the people could feel. And I suggest that this is the kind of darkness that came upon the land when Jesus was on the cross. It was a darkness that they felt. And their skin began to crawl in the midst of that darkness. And they wanted to reach out and hold the hand of someone who was next to them, a friend, because there was a terror that struck them when this darkness came upon the land. And this darkness was simply a prelude for those of us who are able to look back, and in actuality, for the Lord Jesus Christ, a look at outer darkness. The kind of darkness into which those who are headed for perdition enter. This would be Christopher Hitchens. You know, I suspect that Christopher Hitchens would say, well, I'd just as soon go and be in hell with my fellow atheists, my friends. Well, he's discovering now that there are no friends in this awful place. Jesus said that those who reject him will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if there was the palpitation of the heart and the banging of the heart against the walls of the chest, when the darkness descended on Calvary, think about what takes place in outer darkness and the horror of outer darkness. And you see, it's out of a sense of an understanding of this darkness that the cry of Christ comes in verse 34. Let's read the verses together. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And if you understand the dynamics of crucifixion, you wonder how he could cry with a loud voice. He would have to pull himself up because he would be hanging from the cross, and he'd have to suck in air, "Eloi, Eloi," you see. A cry coming from deep within, struggling as he would cry, "My God, my God." And of course, then the Aramaic is translated for us, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it's out of a sense and a feeling of this darkness which Jesus Christ is experiencing that the cry comes. Here he is, friends, on the cross, descended into hell and receiving from the Father all the wrath poured out for sin, for the sins of people like you and me. And this is why he feels, he senses the forsakenness of his Father, because he's no longer experiencing the love and the mercy and the compassion of the Father. No, it is wrath. It is wrath he is experiencing, poured out upon him in this circumstance and descending into the pits of hell. This is why he cries. And yet, if you notice the text, there's a sense of trust that emerges. "My God, my God." Do you begin to sense the tension, the dynamic? "My God, my God, why?" Jesus Christ knows full well why. His whole life had been a preparation for these hours on the cross. And he knows that this was the plan and the purpose of the Father. And from the foundation of the world, he agreed to go down this road and to hang on this cross as a sacrifice for sin. He understood. But imagine then, on the other side, experimentally, experientially, the darkness, the loneliness, the sense of forsakenness and abandonment. I want to go back now to Psalm 22 and read you some of Psalm 22. Because you get the sense of the heart of Christ as you do look at the psalm. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry by day. You do not answer. And by night, but I have no rest." And you can sense the agony in the cry. "Yet," verse 3, "yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. And to you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. And I know, my God, I will not be disappointed." The psalm goes on, back again to the sense of despair. But I am a worm and not a man. A reproach of men, despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag with the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. You think of the scene on the cross now, don't you? When you hear those words. Verse 9. Yet you are he who brought me forth from my mother's womb. You made me trust when on my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. The implicit trust that emerges in the midst of excruciating suffering in the psalm. And then the psalmist goes on. Be not far from me. Think about the cross now. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me. As a ravening and roaring lion, I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has compassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Verse 19. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O you, my help, hasten to my assistance. In the midst of the darkness, a cry that it is at its heart is a cry of trust and faith in the Father who will bring the Son through the darkness into glorious light. And isn't this the case? That his darkness, his experience of darkness, leads you and leads me into glorious light. Isn't this what takes place? We don't have time to explore the psalm in depth, but look down if you have your Bible at verse 27. Look at how the psalm concludes. Look at how the nations are embraced and brought into the Father by the death of the Son. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will worship before you. Darkness leads to light. This is what takes place. And the deep, heartfelt darkness of the cross leads to the glorious light of the resurrection and resurrection life for the people of Jesus Christ, for the likes of you and me. Feeling forsaken? Trust the one who was forsaken for you. You see, this is the idea. He brings you out of darkness into light because he himself suffered darkness for you. And he uttered those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that one day you will not have to be like Christopher Hitchens in the pits of hell and cry out those words yourself. See, this is part of what's so amazing in this text. Jeremy Michael Burda was a 4-star admiral in the Navy. He rose from being a lowly seaman to being chief of naval operations. He's the only man in the history of the Navy who rose from the lowest rank to the highest rank. And he's the only man in the Navy who ever became chief of naval operations, not having been a graduate of the United States Naval Academy. He was a distinguished sailor. For several years, he wore on two of his ribbons, which were on his chest, a little V for valor, a very small V, a little brass emblem that stuck on a medal. And he had two of them. And he was exposed as an admiral by a news magazine that he was not authorized to wear those little V devices on his uniform. He was smitten with guilt because of what he had done. He felt that he had disgraced his office and had disgraced the Navy. This man who had risen to the highest level in the Navy. He went to his office, typed out two letters, one to the Navy and one to his family, put a gun to his chest and pulled the trigger and killed himself. Admiral Borda, did you not realize that in a time of despair and in a time when you feel that you have forsaken your duty, that there is one who has been forsaken for the likes of you? Did you not realize that? No. Like this young man who attempted to commit suicide. This is not the answer, is it? The answer is, there is one who has been forsaken. And the answer to depression and loneliness and a sense and a feeling of being forsaken is not to take your own life. It is to trust the one who has been forsaken for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You're good to us despite who we are and what we've done. We thank you for Jesus Christ. And we thank you for his going through darkness and crying out to you and doing so for us. Put faith in our hearts to trust him. And we know, O God, as we are brought out of darkness into light, you will be pleased to bless us and strengthen us and encourage us. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.